All right, Titus chapter number one, if you will. And we're going to start there this morning. We took the last 2 weeks just kind of do some fun things. And I got some other funny things we're going to talk about too, like death and hell and cremation, you know. But we'll do that another time. No, I'm just kidding. This morning, I want to talk with you, the next couple weeks, about the issue of soundness. A few years ago, I was watching a memorial service for a brother that had passed away that I grew up knowing very, very well and very deeply and there at Shorewood. And he was always an instrument, a figure in the local assembly there and with Dad and so forth. And I was watching the memorial service, naturally not live, but on, you know, is it live or Memorex? But this was a DVD. So, by the way, Memorex is a cassette tape for you guys who don't know that, okay? And a cassette tape is what used to go, you know, it is amazing how young you can feel when you start talking about the good old days and so forth. But in that quote, in that memorial service, Dad made a quote, and I wrote it down because what we're going to be talking about in the issue of soundness, this kind of works there. He said, "We're not put here to be remembered." Now, you remember, we're in a memorial service, okay? "But we are put here to prepare for eternity." And as I thought about that, I just began to think about having the issue of soundness in our lives and in our, as we go day by day. It's an interesting thing. I don't know about you, but I worked this weekend and my job is a water truck driver, dump truck driver. I do a lot of sitting, and which means I do a lot of thinking, which then means I do a lot of Facebooking. And I get to looking at things and thinking about messages and church and stuff day to day. And so I have a lot of time in my own head, which is not always good, for me anyway. And then when the opportunity to grab a shovel and dig a ditch comes, I usually take it. So I get out of my head for the moment. And we were sitting yesterday down on the job, and the guys we're demoing a concrete bridge, and we're fixing it, and we're doing different things. And I'm there for fire protection if a spark happens, and I got to dump 4,000 gallons of water real quick and so forth. And so I've become a volunteer fire guy as well, which is very interesting. That's not my job description, but it is now. But as I begin to think about our lives, our Christian lives, our lives as who we are in Christ, that is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week event. It's not just on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or Bible conferences or when we all get together and have lunch or dinner. It's all the time. And when you think about life being that way, we get tossed to and fro by life then. And when life does have its ups and its downs, and as we begin to look around then on how do you deal with the uppers and how do you deal with the downers, we need to have some soundness in our lives. That word sound, it's not talking about my voice that you're hearing. It's talking about, in the dictionary, it's actually defined as founded in truth, firm, strong, solid, valid, cannot be overthrown or refuted. It's something that's there. I was looking at this concrete bridge. Part of this bridge has been there since the 30s. That part's not crumbling. It's the part they did 30 years ago that's falling apart in the 80s, okay? And the pipe that they stuck in to help with the drainage, it had finally collapsed. And that was done in the late 70s, early 80s as well. But as you think about something firm and solid, when we come to Scripture and we come to our life on a daily basis, we have some soundness in that. Look at Titus chapter 1 and look at verse number 9 with me. There's going to be several of these little soundness issues here that we're going to look at over the next couple weeks. And today we're going to look at verse number 9. "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught." Now, this is talking about the bishop. This is talking about leadership. Titus is sent to Crete to set up the organization of that local assembly there. But I want you to notice something, that he may be able by what? Sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Isn't that interesting? So today we're going to look at sound doctrine. And the reason we're going to do so, look over at chapter 2 and verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become, what? Sound doctrine. And so when we talk about sound doctrine and the issue in with Paul and the issue that needs to be, come over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to do some Bible page turning, okay? The issue that should be in your life on a daily basis is this issue of sound, strong, firm, solid, valid doctrine, truth. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul exhorts Timothy in verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now look over the page at verse 10, the end of the verse. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Notice Paul. What is the sound doctrine that we're going to be that we need to have in our lives on a daily basis? What is it? Look at verse 11. According to, we're to have, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, okay, Paul, what is the sound doctrine? According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to who? My trust, to Paul. That helps us. The information committed to Paul, that makes up what is called sound doctrine. So it's critical to understand something about Scripture and about where to get help. Because in Scripture, obviously there is sound doctrine, the stuff committed to Paul, and then there is Bible doctrine. Come back with me to Genesis chapter 6. I just want you to look at some things this morning about the issue here. So if we're to have sound doctrine, where are we going to go to? Paul. That is what defines sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 1 verse 11 is according to the glorious gospel of Christ, which was committed to my trust. So the information committed to the Apostle Paul is the sound doctrine. Now we can pray and go home early. Not. Look at Genesis 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, and room shalt thou make in it in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion. And what did Noah build? He built an ark. Why? What was coming? A flood. Noah and the flood and the ark, is that sound doctrine or Bible doctrine? That's Bible doctrine. Is it true? Did it happen? Yes, it is. It's true. It happened. It's accurate. I was telling folks last hour, that I was talking with the superintendent out there on the job, and we were down in Tortilla Flats, and we're looking. I tell you what, if you ever get a chance to go anywhere in the wilderness before any people show up and make a lot of noise, turn your car off and just listen to the dead silence. And look at how wonderfully the creation was made. So we're down there looking at it, and he made the comment about 100 billion years ago, this happened, this happened, this happened. And I just said, well, not really. That big old rock over there got moved because of a thing called the flood. Oh, yeah, I know about the flood. The Grand Canyon, Colorado River all backed up, and it flooded out. I'm like, no, dude, I'm not talking about that flood. I'm talking about the big bad flood, you know, of Noah. He goes, oh, yeah, I heard about that. Not sound doctrine, folks. If you're going to build in life on on the ups and downs of life, and you're going to answer them by going out and building an ark and hope looking for the flood, you're going to be looking for a long time. Come over to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14. Moses is bringing Israel out of Egypt. Exodus 14, verse 21. Exodus 14, they've come up to the Red Sea. And in verse 21, Exodus 14, 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. What happened there? What did Moses do? Part the sea. Now, not like Mighty Python in the movies, okay? I'm sorry, all right? I love those movies, I got it, but not that way. Well, you know what? Moses and Paul were on the fishing on the banks, and the first one to reel it in would win, and Paul looked at Moses and said, put your arms down, no cheating, you know? Okay? All right? Why? Did this happen? True, it did happen. But if you're waiting to part the seas of life, you're going to be waiting a while. Look down at verse 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned. What happened? All night Israel crosses the sea. When the daylight hits, the morning hits, Moses puts his arms down, and what happened? Boom, it all crushed in on them. Did it happen? Yeah. Is it in the Scripture? Is it true? Is it accurate? Yes. It's just not what? By sound doctrine. It's Bible doctrine. You go to Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments. By the way, if anyone ever asks you where the Ten Commandments are, it's in Exodus 20, okay? How many of those are you keeping? I hope you're keeping none of them according to Exodus 20, and some of them according to how Paul tells us to, okay? But the point is are the Ten Commandments accurate? Are they true? But they're not a way to live life. Come over to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Just notice something here with me. When you come to the issue of having soundness in your life and sound doctrine, You're going to have to real quickly understand the difference between Bible doctrine and sound doctrine. Look at Genesis 2. Look at verse 16. Adam and Eve are in the garden, and the Lord looks at, commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. If you look back in chapter 1, and verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. What were they told they could eat? What are they eating there? Vegetation, right? The seeds, fruits, vegetables. Now watch verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Wait a second. You notice how there he didn't tell them they could eat meat? He says, you're a vegetarian. See that? Now come over to chapter 9. Noah, the flood's over. Noah parks the boat up there on top of Mount. By the way, you know Noah didn't park the boat, okay? God did, all right? Just making sure you're paying attention. You know, sometimes, you know, people, how many animals did Moses put on the ark? None. It wasn't Moses. It was Noah. And Noah didn't do it. God did. But they all go two by two, two of each, until you go read the Scripture and you find out that of the clean animals, he put seven of each. So there's a few more than just two by two. Got to read your book. Noah's done, comes off the ark, chapter 9. They're going to build an altar. They're going to offer those sacrifices, Genesis 9. As they come down, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Same thing he said to Adam and Eve. and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. You know what they can do now? They can go hunting now. See, in a couple months when I go hunting, guess what? We can go hunting now. Why? What happened? Is eating the vegetarian in the garden, is that good Bible doctrine? Yeah, it is. It's accurate. It was right for Adam and Eve. But with Noah, what did he do? He said, you keep eating that, but you can now eat this. Now, the reason he says that is so they'll go do verse 1. They'll scatter out in the earth and replenish and populate the earth again. Okay? That's why he's... And, of course, man said, no, thank you. We're going to go do what we want to do. Now, come over to Leviticus chapter 11. Now, I'm showing you this because this is good Bible doctrine. Leviticus chapter number 11. So they can eat anything now. We can have our salad bar and we can have our meat bar. It's right there. It's good to go. I was in a restaurant a few years ago. I don't even know if they're still around. It's a Brazilian steak restaurant, and they come around with the meat. Is it still there? Oh, yeah. You know, it costs you $50 a head, but it's all the meat you can eat. You know, we're going in. I was going in with a couple of buddies of mine, friends of mine, and they're like, whatever you do, don't go to the salad bar. Just go sit down and tell them to bring the meat because the salad bar fills you up and you're wasting your time. You know, I'm like, I like the salad bar. You know, I don't look like it, but I did, you know. But they come up and what would you like? I'm like, well, I'll take a little bit of that ham. You know, and they carved the ham off. And then, you know, you can have it all now. Leviticus 11. Now you've got Israel in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts. And you know what happens? The Lord goes in and divides up the beasts and said, these are clean and these are unclean. The unclean, now you can't have bacon, can't have the hog, the pig, the swine, can't have shrimp, can't have lobster, can't have catfish, if you like that river buzzard, okay? You can't have the good stuff. You got to have this over here now. And what did he, now, is that true? It's all good Bible doctrine. Now come to 1 Timothy 4. Boy, that stuff is good Bible doctrine. Good to know. Good to understand. Good to see how God... And by the way, the reason God did that with Israel is so that they would look like oddballs. They would look different than all the other Gentile nations out there. They would be the head and not the tail. They would be the lender and not the lendee. They would be set apart as God's people. You read down through the stuff that God says to Israel. You can't have blended wool fabric. You got to have one. It's got to be all the same. Can't have this color. You got to have that. And people go, why in the world was he doing it? Because they were his people. Boy, that's good Bible doctrine. You got to know that. That won't help you in the day-to-day business of life. But 1 Timothy 4, verse 4 will. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with what? Folks, you know what you can eat today? You know what sound doctrine in the realm of food is today? You can tell I'm hungry. You can eat anything on there as long as it's received with what? Thanksgiving. Now, by the way, that's more than just bowing your head and praying at the table at the moment. Okay? And that is that too. But it's all much more to understand that what did God give man? He gave man an intellect. He gave man creativity. We started a little garden at home. Linda had some seeds. I don't know how old they were, but they had dust on the wrappers. We like to buy things and look at it for a while, you know? So she goes out and I go up to Lowe's because the dirt's pretty hard and I know nothing's going to, you know, we get the water in it and we go get the things that the lady said we need to get, and then we dawned on we didn't need half of it, but that's okay. We, you know, we're, it's not like Midwest where you cut, you move the dirt and you plant and everything grows, you know, you got a little cultivating or not. And all of a sudden she comes to me yesterday, I get home, she's like, hey, I got little things popping up out of the ground now. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. What'd you plant? She goes, I don't know. Now she knows, you know, a little corn, a little this, a little that. And I'm like, cool, cool, good, great, wonderful, you know. We can enjoy that, can't we? But man, I really enjoy going over to the freezer and pulling out that big side of ham. and putting it on the grill and smoking it out, and a little brisket and a little pulled pork, and yeah. But you know what I know? I know that it took a farmer somewhere to grow the animal. But it took God creating man to have the farmer to grow the animal, to grow the crops, to do the stuff. And you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for God, the Creator, and the fact that He put in people the ingenuity. I don't have the patience sometimes. You ever go fishing? My fishing is walking the bank. I throw it in, and I walk, and I pace. Because you know where my mind's at? Somewhere else. It used to be that way. Now I don't walk so fast, so we sit a little bit longer, you know? Cast and reel syndrome. Cast, reeling it. You know, you don't catch many fish that way. But there are people that can do what? Throw the line out there and sit all day. I'm trying to be that guy. My goal this year is patience. I'm losing, okay? What's Bible doctrine? All that stuff in Genesis, Leviticus. What is sound doctrine? What's the doctrine that's going to impact my life? What's the doctrine that's going to come along and say, this is what you should be doing, Rick? 1 Timothy 4 is, isn't it? Hey, if you want to take me out to lunch, I'll be glad to go. I'll go eat any. I can eat anything. And if I don't like it, I'm still going to eat it. Because I was raised to eat what's on your plate. Don't criticize, complain, or condemn, because it could be reversed, right? But I do it with an understanding of, hey, there was a Creator, you know, and look at what happened. And I'm thankful for it. How about sacrifices? How about animal sacrifices? You go back, don't go back there, go to 1 Corinthians 8. In Leviticus chapter 1, Israel, go to 1 Corinthians 8. Israel is given a whole list in Leviticus of animal sacrifices. And you do this and you do that. Now, I know today that in our society there aren't much animal sacrificing going on, but there is. If you get off into the religion, and if you get off into the stuff that's not in media, notice I didn't say mainstream, I said media, all of it, there are people who practice animal sacrifice. In Leviticus, when God tells Israel to do that, is that sound doctrine or Bible doctrine? It's Bible. It's good. It's accurate. It's true. Look at 1 Corinthians 8. Here's the soundness in that. Look at it, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is what? Nothing in this world. And that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us. Notice the to us. That's the kicker here. That's the linchpin to us. To who? To who? To those of us who know that that idol is nothing but a dumb thump piece of wood or whatever it is, and that there's only one God. So to us, the Bible believer, there is but one God, and the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ by whom are all things, and we by Him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some would, with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. What sound doctrine in that? Look at that. You go into I was in a restaurant. I won't say the the group that. And we ate great barbecue. Oh, it was beautiful barbecue. And the lady came by, and I just made compliments to the chef. And she goes, oh, that was the priest down at the local temple. I was like, huh? Boy, that barbecue was wonderful. But you know where it had been? down in their religious service. And then it ended up on the table at $15 a plate. Whether I ate it or not, what's the deal? Ain't no big deal. It was good. I've been back. Now, to some, it's a problem. But to those of us who can understand, to those of us who do understand what God's doing today, guess what? Whether I eat it or not, ain't no big deal. See, follow that. Now, I won't take you there if you have an issue with this because I don't want to be offensive to you. Okay? That's the weaker brother principle playing in. How about circumcision? Genesis 17 and verse number 9, God tells Abraham, if you're not circumcised, you're not my people. You're cut off. Look over at Galatians 5. People use circumcision as a health issue with babies and so forth. It's not. It's usually a family tradition. Look at Galatians 5. Bible doctrine. What's sound doctrine? Look at Galatians 5. And look at verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Chapter 6, verse 15, if that wasn't enough for you. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. What's the issue with God today? The new creature. Whether you're circumcised or not ain't the issue. Boy, isn't that a wonderful relief to be released from that religion, that yoke of bondage, Paul calls it. Of man, if I'm not this, then oh my goodness, I don't have favor with God. Boy, today, sound doctrine says what? You got faith. How about baptism, water baptism specifically? Matthew chapter number 3, John the Baptist is on the scene. In one verse, he gives you three different baptisms. Water, fire, and the Holy Ghost. Woo! Water, Holy Ghost, and the fire. Get them all. Denominations, religious centers today do what with you? Press on you. I was talking to the folks from Minnesota. They were headed back. They're headed back, and we're talking, and he was telling me about a place he went, and the preacher said, today's the day of salvation, and you got to do these three things. And he quoted him, Acts 2.38. Folks, if you believe that Acts 2.38 is involved today, you're dying and going to hell, if I can just say it plainly. How do you get saved today? You trust that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Period. Faith alone. Faith in that alone. No walk in the aisle. We don't have a baptismal, but we do have bathtubs next door. No jumping in the bathtubs, no none of that, no work, faith. Water baptism in Israel's program, just a piece of their program. For you and I today, by the way, look at 1 Corinthians 12. We do have a baptism today. Let's not think that we don't. It's just not a water baptism. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 13. In Ephesians 4, Paul says that there is one baptism. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. What kind of baptism is that? That's a dry spirit baptism. Baptism in Scripture, folks, is an issue of identification. That's all that word ever meant in Scripture. Sound doctrine comes along. Wouldn't that help you in your Christian life? Was I baptized? Did I get it done right? Did they do it right? Do we dunk them? Do we sprinkle them? Do we half them? Do we drown them? What do we do? Do you know that in Scripture, it's the issue, the sprinkling is the only way it's done? Yeah, but Philip took the Ethiopian and they went down into the river. Didn't say he dunked him. If you're going to go get wet, you got to get in the river, don't you? Sound doctrine versus Bible doctrine. How about giving? I didn't mention the offering box. It's in the back there. We need to fill that baby up every week. How about giving? In Deuteronomy, they have a tithing system. Everybody says 10%. Way more than that. works out about 25%. Whoa. Could you give a quarter? Could you give 25% of your living? By the way, do they tithe on the gross and the net? Yes. There's a tithe on both of them. There's 10 of the gross, 10 of the net. And then another, every few years, there's a poor man's tax, about 3.5%. Then they got a free will offering. Isn't that interesting? Boy, that's good Bible doctrine. I'll be honest with you, that's one way you ought to think about living your life. Looking at it. Paying attention to it. But what's 1 Corinthians? You're in 1 Corinthians. Look over in chapter 9. What about us today? What's Bible doctrine? What's doctrine that's running our lives? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Well, I'm surprised. I got to get the right giving verse, don't I? 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 6. What's that? Better than Malachi. Yeah. You're robbing God. Fill them up. You're not robbing God of nothing. You know what God... God doesn't want your money, folks. You know what He wants? Your heart. Because if He has your heart, then 2 Corinthians 9 is a walk in the park all the time. Verse 7, every man according as he purposed in his heart. That's what God wants. So let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There's some sound doctrine. Look at that. Hey, if the money, the way we value things is in our money. You know, I drive through the McDonald's window and get a little breakfast sandwich and a large Coke and get the day started right, you know. You just get going, get that sugar rush in you going good, and wham. And you know what? The lady says it's $3. What is she looking for me to hand her? My debit card, usually. But $3, isn't she? Why? Because that's the value of that meal deal, right? How we value things is in money. If the work of the ministry, if the sound doctrine is valuable to you, what are you going to do? You're going to turn around and change the way you think about giving, aren't you? It's not going to be a grudgingly thing. Oh, that man, he's going to talk about that book, about box in the back. You know? Just keep your money. The bills will get paid. You see, giving, all of a sudden, now it's not a tenth. You know, I told you it's a shame when it's easy to spend a $20 bill at the movies. That's just a ticket to get in nowadays. But man, 20 bucks in the offering in church is hard. Can't do it. Soundness, sound doctrine. So there is Bible doctrine. It's all true. Come back to 1 Timothy. You know what? Just go to Titus 1. I'm sorry. Let's just go there. You see, folks, and on your way, stop in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and Titus 1. I get it straight in my head. See, Bible doctrine, it's all true. It's all accurate. It's all right there. By the way, in the tithing thing for Israel, one of the tithes, one of the 10% was a vacation tithe. The first 10% was a tax, actually. It was a tithe, but it's a tax. And that went to the government of Israel. It went to the Levites. It went to take care of the governing of the nation. Then they had a 10% tax that they were to set aside in a checking account or a savings account, and that was for them to travel 3 times a year back to Jerusalem. But if I told you you could tax yourself for a vacation, everyone in this room would be doing it. That fund would be so big, it wouldn't have any issues. You see? So when you get it, that's all true, it's all accurate. But sound doctrine, what's going to add stability to your life? 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 7, what is going to add stability to your life is the information that's going to come from Paul. Notice what 2:7 says, consider what I say, Paul, what Paul wrote, sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of Christ, which was committed to my trust. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding, and how many things, and all things. So when you come back to Titus 1, watch how important sound doctrine is in life, right here. Watch how important understanding right division is in life. Titus 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been, what? Taught. Sound doctrine has been communicated to the leaders, the bishop here. He's been what? Taught. Hold on here, hold real quick. Go back to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. We got to go to this quickly so we can all go home and get some barbecue. Okay, Colossians 2 and verse number 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Have a walk of faith. By faith you trusted Christ. By faith you're going to walk, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Who's the teacher? The Apostle Paul is. The Holy Spirit is. The Word of God is. I've been taught. Some things have been communicated to me. I've come to understand that I'm to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm going to take the word of truth, and I'm going to take the Bible doctrine, I'm going to put it in one category, and I'm going to take the sound doctrine, I'm going to put it in the other category. Follow me? Back to Titus 1, verse 9. As he hath been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine. There's an enablement of understanding the sound doctrine. There's an enablement to understanding the word rightly divided. By the way, all those things we were looking at, you know what we were doing, don't you? We were rightly dividing the word of truth is what we were doing. Okay? But notice what this sound doctrine is able to do for this gentleman, for the leaders, for you. Both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Isn't that interesting? Here you are in life, and people bring up, well, 100 billion years ago, there was this, this, and this. And you go, wait a minute. That inaccurate. How do you know it's not accurate? Because the Word of God tells you, in the beginning, God created. So you know some things, don't you? You're not going to be tossed to and fro. Because Paul has told you that, hey, the Creator out there, he's the one I've been talking about too. And that Creator, he's been rich to everybody. He's caused the rains to come and the fields to grow and the seasons to work. That's a stuff in Acts when he's dealing with the philosophers, okay? See, when you come here, he's going to exhort and convince the who? The gainsayer. Sound doctrine is designed, one of the designs, one of the enablements, one of the things that are going to work with you is so that you can convince the gainsayer. You will never convince the gainsayer. The sound doctrine does. You will get in the way. Well, I had a professor. Well, now we're in trouble. Romans 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Professing. It's not about you, it's about the sound doctrine. Look at verse 11, or verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. You see that thing, circumcision there? Look down at verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogy and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. That word circumcision, you ought to write down chapter 3, verse 9, because the circumcision there is the religious guys out there going to contend with about the law and genealogies and fables and all about Bible doctrine and nothing about sound doctrine. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped. The sound doctrine, not only is you can use it to convince the gainsayers, but you can use it to shut them up. They're going to stop their mouths, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. You want to shut them down. You're not going to do it with trying to get there on your own. You're going to have to use sound doctrine. soundness, solid, firm. Sound doctrine. Come over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You see, folks, as you've been taught, the information given to the Apostle Paul, he writes it, he gives it to you and I, we begin to study it, we get it into our inner man, and then when things in life come up, we can say, I can hit that right there, I can stop that right there. 2 Thessalonians 2, in verse number 15, just looking at this, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. You have an issue? What are you going to do? You're going to go over there to Paul, and you're going to look at Paul, and you're going to say, okay, Paul, 2 Timothy 2:7, you tell me, consider what you say, you're going to give me understanding in all things. I got to get this sucker nailed down right here, right now, in my own mind. I got to have the stability in my own mind, in my own life. Look, you're in 2 Thessalonians. Flip over to 1 Timothy 6. Look at verse 1. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine. What doctrine is that? Well, keep reading. Be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, verse 2. Actually, drop to verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, otherwise of what? His doctrine, the name of God, verse 1. Otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, wouldn't wholesome be good words to have? You know, you walk down the bread aisle, and you got wheat, nine nut wheat, Ezekiel bread, good old sunbeam white bread, everything bagels, English muffins, wheat English muffins, gluten-free English muffins. My gluten-free? My goodness. Well, it's all what? Wholesome for you, except for the white bread. I'm supposed to have that. That's the best stuff, you know? Wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, Paul says, if any man think he is spiritual or a prophet, let him consider the things that what I say are what? The commandments of the Lord. Hey, the wholesome words are coming from who? Paul. From God to Paul to you and I. But I want you to see something at the end of verse 3, which is according to what? Godliness. Now, drop down to verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. In verse 4 and 5, look at verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing. If all you're about is Bible doctrine and not the sound doctrine, you know what you are? You're a know-nothing, you're a proud know-nothing. That's what you are. He's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But here's the contrast. Folks, if you don't follow sound doctrine, the contrast, if you don't follow sound doctrine, you're a proud know-nothing, and all you're worried about is proving yourself to be right, going to debate it out, argue it out, but the contrast is verse 6. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Religion looks at you and says, what do you mean you guys only have 60 people there on Sunday morning? We got that in our Sunday school teen class. Like, what? And that's a low day, the man tells me. I'm like, well, you must be doing something wrong. I mean, sorry, something right. Oh, my bad. You know? What do you mean? Why? Because what does religion see? We took 60 to 6,000. What's your problem? I don't have a problem. You're going to have one, but I don't. What does religion see? Big. You know what Paul says? For we brought nothing into this world, verse 7, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment therewith, let us be therewith content. Boy, doesn't that simplify life right there? Because what does life come to us with? What does the world say? Don't look weak, don't look small, don't look insignificant. You got to be big, bold, brash. Paul says, no, it's not I, but Christ. It's not about me, it's about Him. And it's about His life living out through my life into our life. You see, when you can get to the point where you can say godliness with contentment is great gain, ooh, then you're there. Come over. Two more verses. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. In verse 10. Paul, he's at the end of his life. He knows it. Actually, if you look over at chapter 4 real quick in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure. What kind of doctrine? Sound doctrine. Isn't that interesting? He says it that way. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what they are? They're scriptural, they're just not dispensational. They're over there saying, we got to follow the garden diet. That's the best kind, vegetarian. Or they're over there saying you got to follow the Noah diet, the Atkins diet, meat only. We're going to have a weight loss challenge. It's going to cost you $100 to get in. And well, what do we get at the end? Nothing. Right? You've seen those things. And they, boom. Now, is there anything wrong with the Garden of Eden diet? I've looked at it. Or any of the, not at all. Probably we all should be on one. A little healthier, okay? I got that. That's not the point. The point is when they take that stuff and they make it into religion. And they make it, if you don't do it, then you're not. You don't have the right standing with God. Sound doctrine says we do. Because our right standing is in who we are in Christ. See. Chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. First thing in the list is my doctrine. You see, folks, to have some soundness, to have some stability in life, becomes the, you have to understand that there's more than just Bible doctrine in the book. There's sound doctrine. And that'll bring in some stability into your life. And you can begin to have some soundness that is needed. Because when you leave today and you come on Wednesday night and you go Monday to work and or this afternoon, you're going to run into stuff that's going to say, hang on a minute here. How should my reaction be? That's why Paul will talk to you about having your speech seasoned with salt. That's not having a salty speech. That's having some words that are designed for edification. When he says, let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth, he's not talking about four-letter little bleep words. He's talking about language that's designed to edify and build up. The four-letter bleep words are designed to destroy and degrade and to tear down. not to build up. They're designed to bring that whoever you're yelling at to, down to your level. Why not bring them up to who you are in Christ? See. Next week we'll talk about sound in the faith and a couple other sounds. Some soundness, some stability, some things that'll never move in life. That even though you get tossed to and fro every now and then, you can say, you know what? There it is. I think of that song where we sing, talks about our anchor, firm and sure, and it's hold. Linda and I, several years ago, actually got to go on a little vacation, and we went to Catalina Island out in the off of California. When I lived there, I had been a couple times, and we went. And you take the boat ride out, and you hope you're back in time to get the boat ride back, or it's a very expensive evening if you don't. Okay? I've done that. I missed it. In my youthful days. But we were standing there. We had gotten done with the day, and we were back about an hour before the boat was going to leave, and we were just sitting watching the cruise ship and all the people coming and going. And the boat that we were on, it was fastened to the harbor there. And it struck me that as the big boat moved into the harbor and unloaded with all the little boats, all of the unrest in the harbor, it's taking these little dinghy boats and sailboats and just tossing them. That was amazing. And yet there was our boat, and I'm watching it, and it would rise and it would go out with the wave. You know, a wave comes in and then goes out. And that rope, the anchor that was stuck to the mooring, and it would just go like you take a shoestring and pull it tight. And then it would loosen up, and it would pull it tight. And I'm sitting there going, one day that thing's going to break. And when it does, it's going to be bye-bye Bodie. The soundness of the anchor that was there is anchored in that sound doctrine. And the guys put that anchor hold there, they knew what they were doing. They understand that. That string is the life. And it's that lifeline that we have in who we are in Christ. That's why that verse hangs on the back wall, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with who? With Christ. You see, I've been to Calvary with Christ. He's the one that loved me and gave himself for me. I didn't do that. I ain't worthy of it. He did it. And because I was crucified with Christ, because I took what he did at Calvary and believed in it, I now can live a life that isn't my life. That's why the verse says, nevertheless I live. You do still live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave. You see, folks, I was crucified with him. I went to Calvary with him. I believe that Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. I place my faith and faith alone in him. Therefore, I have a life now I can go live in soundness and in sound doctrine. Never to be tossed to and fro. That verse in Ephesians 4, I've quoted a piece of it. It talks about children being tossed to and fro. If you're residing on sound doctrine and not Bible doctrine, you know what you are no longer? A child. You've grown up. You've recognized what is true. The key in all that is being crucified in Christ and having eternal security and your eternity settled. If you don't have that, you need to have that today. If you've got it, man, then you've got a life to go live, and you ought to be living it for him. Okay? Some soundness. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that we have in your Son. And Lord, I just pray that we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor and everything that is said and done. In your name we pray. Amen. James.
21, we'll sing that first verse. 421, wonderful words of life.